Blog Talk Radio.
You bring your phone everywhere. Work, school, the movies. Now you can bring it to an Xfinity store for an easy way to switch to Xfinity Mobile, a new kind of network designed to save you money. You can get up to 5 lines of talk and text included with Xfinity Internet at no extra cost, so all you pay for is data. It's never been easier to switch to Xfinity Mobile and keep the phone you love. Click here to see how. Sorry, I gotta take this. Restrictions apply. Limited to select mobile phones. Requires activation of a new line of Xfinity Mobile. Up to 5 devices per account. New Xfinity Internet customers limited to up to 2 lines pending activation of Internet service.
Blog Talk Radio. There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to Geico than saving you money, Geico also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the Geico app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite.
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes I go right when the right way was left. Because the scribbles look so sad. And who says you can't win them all if you try?
Voice of the voiceless. This is the voice of an entire nation. Welcome to the Star and Crescent Report. As always, we open up in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is none other than Master Farad Muhammad, the almighty, all-wise, true and living God, Allah, who has come to us this day and granted us a divine mercy and reminder in the personage of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all in both their names with love, As-salamu alaykum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites. Be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com and also formerly SalamJournal.com and SalamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my beloved family, I say unto you all, As-salamu alaykum, and welcome to another edition of the most powerful show for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth. This is the Truth Platform for Black Education and Black Liberation. This is your platform, the Star and Crescent Report. And our show today is titled Down to Zero, The Empire Nears Its Last Breath. So, we know that zero is a number representing nothing. It's absence or the void of the positive number or actions of mathematics. Listen closely. I want you to pay close attention to this part right here. We're going to the definition of last breath because it's very intriguing when we're talking about America and the empire, because we have to listen right now. According to the new statistics, there are two different statistics out. One is saying that America is operating in 135 countries around the world. There's another out saying, I believe it's between 155 and 175 countries around the world. And all in all, both of them agree that America is operating in over 70 to 80% of the nations on the planet Earth today. This would make Rome jealous. This empire here would make even the British jealous. The American empire, which is an extension of the British empire, is something unseen in modern history, operating in all of these countries. Once you get in, even Ron Paul said this himself, once you allow the American military in any form, any fashion, whether it's advisors, whether it's trainers or whether it's logistical centers or full-fledged military bases, it's hard as hell to get them out. And if they come out, they go back in covertly to destabilize the countries so that America can justify bombing the hell out of the countries and coming right back in there in a stronger position, even after destroying the independence of those nations. So, the definition given by Google, yes, I'm talking about Google, on last breath is this: the last moment of one's life, often used hyperbolically, meaning death. So when we look at the empire and she's on her last breath, we know that she's close to death, she's close to dying, she's desperate, she is panicked, she's frantic over losing her position globally. She's frantic of losing her position economically, militarily, politically, industrially. She's losing everything. China is the number one industrial and manufacturing power. China is the number one economic trade power. and Russia and China are an equal weight to America's military power. They're offsetting America's military dominance. So we can see in every area that America's being uprooted. This has everything to do with the salvation of black America. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that Allah would raise up the nations as counterweights to American power. He would stretch the American military globally, and she would suffer defeat after defeat. Now, there's an old saying, he who defends everything defends nothing, because they leave their belly exposed for attack. This is America. She's calling herself defending everything while she's being exposed at home. This is why she's arming her military to the teeth, her police forces. They're armed and trained by the military now, because she knows that these wars of aggression, these wars of dominance, these wars of imperial and colonial power and conquest over the world will leave her belly exposed. Oh, black man, black man. And now they're seeing things that they've never seen before. They're seeing powers rise up, which they thought they had stopped, which they thought, and this is another reason, black man and black woman, that America is all across the world, and this is why she's trying to deploy ballistic missile systems everywhere. She's trying to prevent the rise of an opposite pole of power. She's trying to prevent the fulfillment of prophecy. She's trying to maintain her position in a world wherein she must and is being removed at all costs. I know she looks powerful. I know she looks like she is unstoppable. I know her politicians and her military officials are talking as though America has a bright future. But to the contrary, black man, to the contrary, if you look at all of the signs, the military is based on economic prowess and vice versa. Well, does America have economic prowess anymore? No. She depends on the gratuity of the same nations that she is trying to make war with. She depends on their gratuity on buying her debt so that she can continue to try to boss them around, muscle them around, and white mail them into continuing to bow to her submission. You know, when nations get out of line with America, you know, as China or Russia, they'll say they're against the global stability. They're against the global order. What America's saying is that they're bucking up against America's rule, America's domination, and America will have none of that. She will fight to the end to preserve her rule. This is that catch-22 God put her in. The more she fights, the more she becomes in debt. The more she tries to get herself out of debt, the more she has to fight. The more she tries to whitemail the nations by threatening to overthrow or bomb nations or trying to destabilize nations and trying to put her advisors or her military there in strategic parts of the world so that she can whitemail nations into buying dollars. This is why she has them in the Malacca Straits, the Indian Ocean, right? This is why she has them in the South China Sea, the Persian Gulf. She has a military there. Why? It's because she wants to threaten the nations to hold captive trade if they go against her dollar. She wants to blackmail or whitemail them with the threat of use of force over their strategic oil and gas reserves. This is why China is doing that Silk Road, that one road thing. It's because they're trying to bypass all of the choke lines that the empire has imposed on the world to keep herself going. This is all part of the strategic plan. Remember what we told you, Muhammad says, that yellow man was made to chase down this American white man. This is true. This is what they're doing. America is trying to keep China hemmed in, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says. She's trying to prevent that yellow man's breakout capacity. But long before she did these things, they knew that it was going to happen, and they had made preparations for such. So this is why China is making preparations, and this is why America is desperate and why we're talking here. This goes, we're going to go into the economic part. We're going to show you how this is tied in. But why we're talking here on this situation with China and the South China Sea in America. Do you know that dozens of Apache attack helicopters are on their way to South Korea? Do you know that America is sending warplanes and warships there on the Korean Peninsula to inflame the situation? Anytime America loses out geopolitically, she wants to stoke up tension. When she lost in Syria and as she's losing in Syria, guess what happens? Ukraine starts flaring up with Russia. As she's losing in Southeast Asia, guess what happened? She's stoking flames of tension on the Korean Peninsula. This has nothing really to do with North Korea. This is about China. But she knows she can use the North Korean incident to justify her buildup of weaponry to try to pump China out. But this won't work because these are no longer the days of America. These are the days of Allah. And these are the days when Allah's word be stands steadfast. And it is made whole. So no matter what she does, no matter how much she plots, no matter how much she plans, what the Quran tells you, the devil may plan and Allah plans. And surely Allah is the best of planners. So this is what we're seeing. And this has everything to do with your salvation. This has everything to do with your separation. This has everything to do with the fulfillment of prophecy. Because as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us and the Bible bears us witness, that Allah breaks the power of Pharaoh. He stretches Pharaoh's military might. He drains her economically. And as all of these things implode upon the conditions, the life line of the empire, even Pharaoh's advisors start looking around wondering, what is going on? Why are we going through this? And they start telling Pharaoh, we're having trouble. We no longer have the might to bring in trade and food and stuff. We're suffering military defeats. We're doing it. And Pharaoh looks around, and Pharaoh's entourage looks around and say, it's those dang old slaves. We got to get them the hell out of here. This is what happens in the Bible. Right? This is what takes place. Some of you don't even understand that this is part of the Exodus. And we're close to the fall of America, the complete fall and destruction of the so-called mightiest empire in the last 6,000 years. She's down to zero. And we can see with our own eyes and feel with our own wallets that the empire nears its last breath. Now, what does that have to do with the situation at hand? While she's fighting these wars of aggression, notice that each war she's fighting is draining more money, causing more manpower. Listen, when they deploy troops, when they deploy all of this weaponry, this stuff is not free. It takes millions and hundreds of millions and billions of dollars for these deployments. It takes millions and tens of millions and even billions of dollars for these war games. She's constantly having war games. She's constantly deploying. You say, well, that money could be used at home. She doesn't have the money for home. She's on somebody's credit card. It's all going down on credit. So she's being exposed step by step. The empire is being exposed. But she must do these things to continue. But she will be the loser. Anyway, as I was telling you, all of these things have everything to do with your salvation. It's a shame because even I was listening to an interview the other day. I forget who it was. They were talking, and they were talking about the situation at hand in the war. These are so-called economists, investors in America's system. And what caught my eye with one of them, and they said, most people don't understand this. This is what one of the guys said. Most people don't understand this, that the wars that you see are connected. They're connected with the situation economically. And most of the people in America have their heads in the sand. They don't understand that this has a direct effect on their livelihoods in America. And I just shook my head, and I said, maybe the brother who said, brother, we don't want to hear what's going on in China or what's going on in Russia or going on. We want to hear what's going on our block. And they didn't understand that this has everything to do with what's going on your block. This has everything to do with what's going on in your city, in your neighborhood. And the ramifications of these events that are taking place will cause you to go to the breadline if you don't pay attention. Yeah. So the white man understands his time is limited. He understands that God is after him. It is you. It's so-called enlightened ones that does not understand the time in which we are living in. So they knew for a long time that their exposure was coming. Mr. Holter says so much so. I want you to listen to this clip here. I'm going to try to play this clip. This is a short clip. It's about a minute and 28 seconds. And it's Bill Holter being interviewed. And he's talking about the situation. We're going to try to get as many clips in as we can, and we're going to try to elaborate on this, and we're going to go to the maybe to the fall of America, message to the black man. Maybe our Savior has arrived, and maybe we get a chance through the Bible and the Holy Quran on these issues so that we can prove to you that this is the day of separation. And I want to say this with all my passion and all my love. Brothers and sisters, most of you don't understand Scripture. Most of you don't understand prophecy. And this is why it's hard for you to digest what is being said. I get people writing me. I get people calling me, and they're talking about separation. And they're talking, we got to do this, and we've got to run over here, and we've got to do that. And they don't understand time. They don't understand. Actually, to be honest with you, they don't understand this teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And this is no knock to you. Because when you don't understand something, seek an understanding. Don't be arrogant about it. Don't pretend that you do know when you don't know. You can cause death and loss of life for people whom you love. So one thing you should do is pay attention and listen, because what I'm saying to you is substantiated in prophecy. It's substantiated throughout the lectures and teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It is being substantiated through world events. So what I've come to understand is this. The devil, it looks like the devil is ramping up his abuse towards us. But you didn't get it. You didn't understand it. But the messenger said that this must take place. This has to take place. And as he suffers defeat globally, he's going to look inwardly at you and I and try to move towards you and I. But this is how God defends you. The messenger says Allah delights in defending his people to show the world that he can defend you in the midst of the beast. All right? Is that not right? Is that not scripture? So some of you get anxious and worn out thinking that it's on you because you misunderstood what the messenger said about separation. How in the hell can you bring about a separation when you can't even get 10 brothers who claim to believe the same doctrine to sit down and honestly move toward self? There must be events that force these things to take place. Remember what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said? No, you will not accept this just by having the freedom to accept this. You must be divinely beaten and destroyed first. This is what he said. Before you ever come into this. And if we are, again, all of this goes hand in hand with the title of the show. And I'm trying to be as diplomatic about this as possible and show you. First of all, calm down. Allah got this. He has this. He had it before you came into existence. And this is more, it's more than about you and it's more than about me. It's about the preservation and the restoration of an entire species, an entire people. So, have faith in God being able to do what he said he was going to do. All right? Again, brothers and sisters, the empire knows that it's down to zero and it's on his last breath. But it is you who still believe that the empire projects power because you are caught in his Walt Disney scheme. I know it looks bad. I know it looks bad. You see the youth walking around with no direction, twiddling and twirling their hair. The men have longer than the women. You can't tell the man from the woman today and the woman from the man. The woman thinks all her glory is in her backside and in her face. The black man is so full of foolishness today. You said we got to separate. The devil is doing this. The devil is doing this. But that's what the scripture said would happen. And we had to go through these things to make us worthy of being the rulers of the new world. And then after all of these things take place, because this is the purification process here, the separation goes on. And again, I say to you, if what I'm saying is not true, go to Holy Quran. Go to Bible, look in the history, and tell me whether or not I'm saying the truth, whether or not what I'm saying is in line with it, and then do a comparative analysis, a comparative study to what Elijah Muhammad taught, and show me where I'm off point. This is no arrogance. This is humility telling you, listen, if we're going to argue, let us argue in the best way with truth and be civilized about this situation. And when somebody presents truth to you, even if it's not palatable to you, slow your horses and accept the truth, even if it be against your own self. Down to zero, the empire nears his last breath. And here's one of the breaths that is taken. Listen to Mr. Bill Holter as he talks about the exposure to the system and how this Walt Disney system is coming down, is coming apart.
Having you on, I wanted to start off with you. I'm asking my guests here in January, at least the first part of January, about 2017. What do you see coming down the pipe in 2017? Big theme for 2017, according to Mr. Bill Holter.
Well, I wrote this, the first two articles of the year were titled around 2017, the year of the truth bomb. I've talked about truth bombs now for probably a year and a half, and I think that's what's going to happen in 2017, is that this hologram that we've been living is going to be, the curtain's going to be pulled back.
Well, and when you wrote that article, you did not know that Julian Assange was going to come out and say, oh yeah, I'm going to dump a bunch of stuff here. It's going to make your head spin. It's going to be crazy time. That was something you wrote. You were just predicting that. And sure enough, you and Julian Assange apparently are on the same page, and I know you don't know him.
No, of course I don't know him. I wrote that article, and I think within 24 hours, the headline came out from WikiLeaks, 2017 will blow your mind. And, of course, I was pleased to see that because I want to see the truth come out. That's why we do what we do.
See, and what he's talking about, the truth is the exposure to the system. And you're going to start seeing the meltdown and the rundown of all of these things. Remember the 60 to not exceed 70-year rule. And remember the messenger says that one of the best places to find the liberation of the so-called Negro is in the book of Daniel, right? And when we look at those weeks, God said he could come get you in the 60. What week? Talk back to me. And he told us what, the weeks represent years. We're in one of those years that God could come and do what he said he was going to do. But you don't understand these. You're not understanding because you're emotional on this level. You believe something without facts. And what we're doing today, we're laying out facts. We're laying out scripture. We're laying out theology. And we're showing you that the American empire is down to zero. And the empire nears its. This is truth. This is God's truth. You might not like it, but it is the truth nonetheless, okay? So, when we look at the fall of America, when we look at the collapsing empire, this has a great, great picture for you and I, because this means our, not just our salvation, but our liberation and our independence, and all of these things must take place in order for you to be purged of this white man's mind. See, the book says God comes after the workings of Satan. Satan got to do all that he's going to do. And when you realize that his civilization is nothing, that what he's offered you is nothing but illusions and hell, you're going to gladly turn to what God is offering you. Again, if we go to the Bible, remember the prodigal son. No matter what the father offered, the prodigal son, and the father was loaded. He was rich. He could give him anything. And no matter what the father offered that prodigal son, he was too enamored, too captivated by the wealth of these strangers, right? And no matter the call of the father or his family, the prodigal son would not hear that because, just like magnets, opposite attracts. And he was attracted to this strange life, this strange world, these strange people. He didn't go back home willingly. He didn't separate from the people willingly. What forced the separation was that God moved against the people whom he was attracted to, made them lose their agriculture, farmland, you know, the fertile farmland, made them lose their wealth, made them lose the glow of attraction. And only after that, when everything was lost, did the prodigal son sit down in the dust and look around and say, I'm in hell here, but my father has plenty to feed me. He has plenty to offer. Let me make my way back to my father's house and see if he would forgive me for living this hellish lifestyle. This is the prodigal son. This is you, the Methodist said. That is an example of the American so-called Negro. But you don't hear that. You're not hearing these things because you have it in your head, in your narrow view, your narrow idea of what it should be instead of what it is. But we don't go that way. We will defend the truth of God as revealed to us by Messenger Elijah Muhammad to the bitter end. You can accept it or reject it. Okay? America, and everyone sees this happening. And what's amazing to me is I was talking to Brother Gerald and Brother Rashid one day, and Brother Mikhail, I was talking to him too about it. What's amazing to me is that the white man, these people in power, contact me. Now I'm nobody. And they contact me and they say, Brother, Rashid, you do a mighty fine job of representing Elijah Muhammad's teaching. Or they'll acknowledge what I'm doing. And then it's the so-called Negroes, the so-called enlightened ones that will not. It's amazing. The devil understands what's going on. He understands. And this is why you are suffering from the touch of Satan. This is why it takes a doctor, a divine doctor, to remove that poison that has infiltrated your spiritual makeup, your mental makeup, that is preventing you from formulating righteous thoughts. It takes that divine doctor to intervene and inoculate you from the venom of the bite of this viper. The white world knows that they're entering a time unlike any time before. The white man knows that his system has gone terminal. That's why you keep hearing them say, we must reboot. We must reset. We must position ourselves to transition or transfer our wealth. Climate change, global warming. They're telling you that a change is underway. Something that is out of their hands. And they know that it is inevitable. Matter of fact, it is underway. It is you who are so preoccupied with madness that you don't want to come to the reality of the truth. Because you know why? In one way or another, you like the white man's world. Regardless of you putting on your righteous garments and you putting on your assalamu alaikum and all of your walaikum salams, you still love this white man's world. Sport and play, madness and trying to call yourself friends of each other, friends of madness. You don't vie with one another in righteousness. You vie with one another in madness. And you don't like that I point this out. To hell with what you like and dislike. So long as these likes go for Allah, I'm good to go. Let's go further. So, as we see these things unfold, the white man is constantly telling you, listen, Trump, look, they got hope in Trump. I have to laugh about this sometimes because on the one hand, the white man will say, maybe Trump will do such and such. And if we can get Trump to do this, then maybe we can do this. And then they'll go right back in double speak and say, well, it's a mathematical certainty that this debt bomb must explode, that we must go through a reset. On one hand, they tell you their hopes and dreams under Trump. And on the other hand, they tell you the mathematical certainty that Trump can't do nothing about this. Matter of fact, he was in bed with help making this. But some, even the investors, the scholars, don't see it because even their brothers and sisters can lie so much that even they can't see past. But I want you to listen to what Mr. Bill Holter says about the bankruptcy of America and how Trump will preside over the bankruptcy of America and how they give Trump all of this credit, and at the same time, they're telling you that America is bankrupt. And then I'm going to come back because they give Trump all of this praise, and then we're going to come back and we're going to rebut some of the stuff that they say about Trump. Because remember I told you that Mr. F. William Engdahl told me that Trump was the front for gangsterism. And when Mr. Engdahl talks about things, this guy goes so deep into their history, and he has all these proofs. He has them in books, and he does lectures on them. And he talks about how Trump had always been a front for the crime syndicate. Mr. Engdahl told me that. And then I'm listening to an interview the other day by one of these other white scholars, and he confirmed what Engdahl had been saying. I said, boy, I tell you what. But this gets left out because white people need some type of hope, the last great white hope. So I want you to listen close to this as they admit to the bankruptcy of America, but they're looking at Trump as though maybe Trump can do something to help them out. But listen closely to this. It's 5 minutes.
That's why we do what we do.
Well, one of the big truths, and this is something I've been bringing up in the Weekly News Wrap-Up, and listen, I'm neither Democrat nor Republican, and I did a lot of work on how unfair the mainstream press was to Donald Trump. It was off the charts. And but one of the things I brought up, and I like Donald Trump, but he's got some big problems with the bond market and, you know, $20 trillion in debt, and we've got a lot going on. He must surely know this. I mean, he brought up early on in his campaign, and then boom, quit talking about it. And that was that. You know, we have to reorganize this debt. What say you about Donald Trump and what he is facing? Let's just start in the debt arena.
Well, he's a smart guy. He fully understands that really what he's going to be doing is presiding over a bankruptcy. That's what his main job is going to be, is reorganizing this country.
Is that one of the truth bombs that's going to come out, that people are going to realize, oh, really, you can't have that pension, and interest rates are going to go up, and we can't have full faith and credit, and we're going to reorganize our debt. Sorry, we can't pay.
Right, well, I guess if you ask the question, does the average American believe we're broke? Well, yeah, I think deep down or in the back of their mind, they think we're broke, but we're living this lifestyle. We lived this lifestyle, and this lifestyle is not going to change. I think when the lifestyle does change, gets forced to be changed, then, yeah, that's a gigantic truth bomb.
What's going to force it? What's going to force the change? Is it going to be spiking rates in the bond market, and all of a sudden bonds are going to be, you know, all these 0% interest rates bonds overseas are going to turn to, you know, to pudding? I mean, we got a lot of debt, and when the rates go up, it's harder to pay and worth a lot less.
Right. In one word, credit, or the lack of credit. I mean, that's what I've harped on for the last year now, is that credit is going to seize up. Think about how credit works. If you were a lender, would you lend to someone that you know is broke? And that's what this amounts to. The U.S. is broke. There's nothing left unencumbered. Pension plans are hollow. They're filled with debt, bad debt, debt that can't be paid back. Keep in mind that one man's debt is another man's asset, or one man's liability is another man's asset. And if the liability, if the debt can't be paid, then on the other side of the balance sheet, the assets have to be marked down.
And this is what you mean by talking about presiding over a giant bankruptcy in multiple areas. Even California, in the court system out there, is cutting their pensions. They're saying, sorry, we can't pay.
Exactly. It's everywhere. I mean, you see it. And then what is it? The Dallas Police Department. I think that's going to be a big theme this year, is that credit. And actually, you're already seeing rumblings of it. You see LIBOR had just went over 1%. Overnight rates in China went to 80% last night. 80%. And that's a function of China trying to arrest the fall in the yuan. But 80%, the world spins, the world turns on credit. And I've written many times, I've said in interviews many times, that when credit dries up, so will distribution. And when distribution dries up, food doesn't make it to the stores, and you're going to have hungry people. one of the things I said, as soon as I found out that night, the night of the election, I said to myself, kind of tongue-in-cheek, smirking, I guess the FEMA camps aren't meant for us. The FEMA camps are meant for the other side. I mean, the plan was, and if you look at it, the plan was Hillary was going to get in, and you and I, Greg, and people who are watching this, we were targets of it. And the plan didn't work.
Plan didn't work. There was a soft coup, according to some sources, that the intelligence agencies, people in the agencies released all this stuff, not the Russians. That it was homegrown, a counter, soft counter coup, and it took down the civilian coup of the Clintons.
Right, but follow this through, Greg. When credit dries up, when credit ceases, and trucks don't move, and store shelves don't get filled, and EBT cards don't work, ATMs don't work, nothing works, you're going to see mass riots in the cities. And the cities will be ring-fenced, and people will gladly get on buses to go get food at FEMA camps.
So, did you hear what he said? He talked about, he thought that the FEMA camps was for them. And then he said, maybe it's for the other side. And then he goes and says, well, he explains what he's talking about without naming what he's talking about. And he says, think about it like this. When EBT cards don't work anymore, people are gladly get on the FEMA buses to go get something to eat. You know who he's talking about? He's talking about you. That's what it was meant for. He said he thought it was meant for the well-off white people. But he come to realize that it was meant for you. But you don't understand this. But Elijah Muhammad had foretold this stuff that was happening. Matter of fact, let's see what, I think it's 67. Then we're going to go to another clip. 67, Fall of America, I believe it is. 66. Listen to what Muhammad says. The American white people are more concerned about mistreating the black one slave of America than America is concerned with any nation on earth that is attacking her outlying posts. Her enemies are intensifying their attack on her. America is right out of the frying pan into the fire all over the earth. See, now he's talking about the situation that America's facing on the outside of her borders. See, this is what I'm saying. When you listen or read this, read it for what it's saying, not for what you're thinking. So he goes and says, America is right out of the frying pan into the fire all over the earth. Listen what he gives the reason for that. Due to her evil intentions against her loyal black one slave. So all that you see going on over there is a direct result of what she's doing to you and I over here. And if you don't understand the correlation, the connection, you don't get the understanding of the light, and you can move wrong in a time where you must be precise in your movements lest you be laid to rest. So Muhammad goes further and he says, her talk of evil doing against the black one slave in America is worse than it is against independent nations that are trying to attack and destroy her country. White America has more hatred for black one slaves in her midst who are faithfully fighting on the firing line to help her against her enemy than she is against the enemy that they are shooting down. I'm going to get to something. The FEMA camps, okay? To show you that this stuff is written. And Mr. Holt is just bearing witness to it, okay? White America talks of building concentration camps, prison houses, for the black one slaves, the black man in America. I am told that America already has concentration camps built for this purpose. Concentration camps or jail houses, prison houses. This is why I cry day and night to my black brothers to seek refuge in Allah in such a time as this. See, Muhammad is telling you that this white man is doing it. And Mr. Holt admitted, he said, I thought that it was for us. But come to realize, it's for the other side. See? Brothers and sisters, if you listen to these white people, sometimes they'll talk to you, but they'll talk over you. And you don't realize it. But Elijah Muhammad told us that this is what's going on. But then he says, this is why he cried day and night to you, to seek refuge, not in a building, not in a little piece of land over there, but seek refuge in Allah in such a time as this. And then he gives you confidence after that. He says, the Muslims do not have to worry about any such imprisonment, for the Muslim is already a citizen of the nation of Islam, and we have our own people to deliver us by the order of God. So, with all of this going on, you should have confidence in that. That in the midst of all of this hell, turmoil, confusion, and cloudiness of thought, that God had already prepared your freedom, your salvation, long before they ever prepared to subjugate you here in America. It's a beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now, as is, you heard him, Mr. Trump is such and such, and Mr. Trump is this and this, and he'll be presiding over the bankruptcy of America, and see, he won, he's a good dude, and he's this. Baloney. I want you to listen to what one of the guys have to say about, and it's going to be talking about the nuclear industry, but I think in this clip, if not, I'll stop the clip, but I think in this clip, they're going to be talking about Mr. Trump, and the guy's going to be saying some of the things that I had told Brother Rashid and Brother Gerald and Brother McCall behind closed doors. He's going to be saying some of the same stuff that I told them, that Ingdahl said to me. So pay close attention to what this guy says.
Well, the news that a number of the world's leading scientists have written to President Trump, urging him to backtrack on his plan to greatly expand America's nuclear weapons, is unsurprising. There has been a kind of a battle between the scientific community, especially the more morally and civically engaged people in that community, and the nuclear weapons industry and the people promoting the manufacture and ultimately the use of nuclear weapons, going back for decades here in the United States. The Union of Concerned Scientists in particular has been in the forefront of the effort to try to make sure that nuclear weapons are never used. And unfortunately, Donald Trump, who was elected because, in part, many people voted for him thinking that he was the candidate who was least likely to begin a nuclear war, presumably with Russia, and there were very smart people who voted for him on that basis, people like Paul Craig Roberts, the former advisor to President Reagan, a man I respect quite a bit. These people, I think, are going to be very disappointed if Trump continues on his current course, ignores the warnings of the scientists, and decides to go ahead with his announced plan to massively accelerate America's building its nuclear arsenal. This is really a horrible idea, and if we ask ourselves why would Trump have said this after he met with people from the nuclear industry? Well, the fact is that the nuclear weapons industry here in the United States is one of the most notoriously corrupt, organized crime-infested industries. Huge piles of money are made in this marginally criminal industry. Notoriously, there have been all sorts of incidents in which American nuclear materials have been stolen and smuggled to great profit by the part of these criminals who are part of the industry. The Kerr-McGee Corporation in particular famously murdered Karen Silkwood, who was a whistleblower at one of its plants in, I believe it was Oklahoma, in the 1970s, because Karen Silkwood had discovered that the organized crime element in the nuclear weapons industry was stealing vast amounts of nuclear material and selling them to Israel. And this, of course, was treason, highly illegal. And so they poisoned Karen Silkwood by putting radioactive materials in her food and then ran her off the road and murdered her. And this is probably just one of numerous incidents like this. Most of them we probably never heard about. The nuclear industry is also dependent on the very worst and craziest strategists to keep itself in business building these horrific weapons. Paul Wolfowitz and his friends are famous for having built this new doctrine of the fact that nuclear weapons should be used. Wolfowitz famously said, what use are these things? What good are they if we don't use them? So they've been working on miniaturizing nuclear weapons so that they can go ahead and use them without blowing up entire cities. Now they're going to just blow up half of a city and that's supposedly perfectly thinkable and wonderful. And unfortunately, Donald Trump is currently surrounded by these neoconservatives and by organized crime. It's a little-known secret here in the United States. The one thing about Trump that the mainstream media won't tell you, they'll bash him in every other way, but they won't tell you that Donald Trump has been a frontman for organized crime throughout his entire career. That's the only job he has ever held in his life, is frontman for the Meyer Lansky mob. He was recruited by Roy Cohn, one of the biggest organized crime kingpins in the United States, and also the man who created McCarthyism, that is politics through scapegoating minority groups. So it doesn't look good right now. And we must hope that the United States will learn from the forces in the world that know that nuclear weapons are evil, need to be rolled back and eliminated. And that does include the government of Iran, which has had a permanent ban on weapons of mass destruction ever since the Iran-Iraq war, when it refused to build chemical weapons, to answer in kind the chemical weapons that were raining down on Iranian forces. These weapons have been manufactured by the United States and its allies. And the Ayatollah Khomeini banned nuclear weapons and WMD, saying that they were ungodly and it was a crime against God to even build them. That's been the official policy of the Islamic Republic, reiterated by the supreme leaders ever since, and that's the right policy. Unfortunately, here in the United States, we don't have that godly element in our government. So essentially, we're run purely by psychopaths without any of that kind of wisdom that would say we've got to stop building these things before they get used. And one hopes that President Trump and others in positions of responsibility will come around to that view. But, of course, such hopes are always a long shot.
You see, they go around and they tell you who this man is. They tell you what they're about. Then they'll say hope. They're hoping. They lay out the facts, and then they'll hope against the facts. But they know the reality of it. What do they say? The only job that Trump has ever had is being a front man for organized crime. Isn't that something? But, and the white man is putting his faith and a man who is a puppet or a shield for organized crime. Why? Because the whole system is a crime syndicate. All of the branches of government have been crime syndicates. And they have used and exploited black people constantly. He mentioned that up in there when he says about scapegoating minority groups. This is what they do. And then they use the labor, the near free labor of today. They use your brain power and all of your faculties to further their greed, further their pocket. See, this is why this thing must implode. This is why God must bring this stuff to a head. Because this can't go on forever. And so as we look at all of these things, you're supposed to smile. The book says when you see these things, look up and rejoice, for your redemption is nigh. When you see all of these things take place, it's a very beautiful time to be alive to see these things, because the prophets of old wished that they could live to see one day, and your whole life has been spent looking at all of the prophetic sayings unfold, coming to a head. You're living in the last days of empire. You're living in the last days of Adam. You're living in the last hours of Yaqub's world. You're living in the foundation of a new world, a new order, a new global or universal system that is predicated on freedom, justice, and equality, and unlimited progress under the God who has no limits in his power or in his thinking. The white man is down to zero, and the empire nears its last breath. And now the whole world has caught economic gonorrhea from that great whore that has traveled around and gallivanted around the world, fornicating with all who thought that they could have a better life, who were attracted to the beauty of this whore, or these whores, America and Great Britain. We see them now from Europe to Australia are begging for some type of relief from the burning of this economic gonorrhea that has been put on them by the great whores. But to no avail. They get no penicillin. They will burn. And there's an old saying, burn, baby, burn. So they're burning. And I want you to listen closely to what they're saying about the economic situation in America and Europe. And you'll see that they have been burning. And all of them are intertwined. See, this is what you get when you lay down with a pretty face. You know, sometimes we think the grass is greener on the other side. And then when you get in the yard, you realize it's full of ant pit holes and all of this other stuff. And this is what's happening. All of these nations who had fornicated economically for advantage, to say that I had made love to the great whore, whose beauty had no equal. Right? Now that whore has been exposed, as the Bible tells you, and she has sit down in the dust, and there's no throne for her anymore. She's no longer attractive to the people. Her economy is no longer in control of the world. Her currency is declining, being rejected. But all of the quantitative easing and all of the market manipulation and the funny money book accounting that America had been doing and had forced upon or invited all of her lovers to take part in is now blowing back on them and causing an economic tsunami that is threatening to ruin the entire Western financial monetary scheme or global order. Listen closely to this. This is 3 minutes.
16 was nothing compared to what they're going to drop this year.
What about the $2 trillion exposure over in Europe? People are thinking, oh, what goes on over there stays over there. And you say, oh, no, it doesn't.
No, and I've said this all along. Financially, globally, everyone's in bed with everyone else. I mean, who's got $2 trillion? Who can backstop $2 trillion?
$2,000 billion.
Right.
For you home gamers out there. And also, if you were telling me in the pre-interview, one of the facts you wanted to bring up is this. U.S. has a 325% debt-to-GDP ratio. Explain why that's horrifying.
Well, no, that's not the U.S.
Global.
That's,
I'll say global.
Global, yeah. That's horrifying because it can't be paid back. The debt is too large to pay back. So the only thing that can be done is a default of one sort or the other. Either the debt doesn't get paid or the currency gets cheapened and making the debt easier to pay off. So going one step further, as I mentioned before, one man's debt is another man's asset. What that means is the asset values are going to have to be marked down.
Asset values, are you talking about stocks, bonds, especially the bond market? With Puerto Rican debt, for example, what's that worth? $70 billion that the whole mainstream press conference took a big yawn on. $70 billion is not a big deal? Just
right,
for one little...
But if it gets marked down, maybe it's really only worth $5 billion or $10
billion. Maybe it's worth zero.
Maybe it's worth zero, but the point being, those assets that people hold in their portfolio, the numbers that they see on their statement are just numbers. It's not when this comes down, that's not real value. That's, you're not going to be able to call on those assets to live, to eat, to pay bills. It's an asset collapse because the debt side collapses.
And wouldn't the brokerage, well, you've worked in brokerage, you know all about this. If anybody thinks, oh, well, if I get into trouble, I'll just sell my stocks and I'll be able to go to my brokerage and get my money. And you say?
To who?
Sell stocks to who? So you won't be able to get your money. If you do can sell stocks, you're saying you're not going to get your money out of the brokerage, one way or the other.
Well, you're not going to get what you think you have right now out. It's just not going to happen. You're going to get back dollars that don't have the same value as they have today. You're probably going to see lower. You probably initially see lower stock prices. I believe this will end in a hyperinflation. So you could see the Dow at 100,000. You could see it at 1 million. Who knows? But it won't have the same purchasing power as it has right now today.
Hyperinflation. This is what Muhammad says. He says, but today, the currency of America is not backed by any sound value of silver or gold. The note today is something that the government declares that they will give you the value in return, but does not name what that value is. But they definitely are not backing their currency with gold, silver or gold. This is the number one fault. Now, hold on one second. When Elijah Muhammad was saying these things and he was talking on the economic side of this back in the 70s and in the 60s, you didn't understand what he was talking about. Now, this is the lingo and this is the talk of the Internet, right? But this man blazed the trail. He was talking about these things. He was talking about true value, fiat currency, and all of these things in the 60s and 70s. And they're just getting a hold of what he was speaking back then. He says, this is the number one fault. And what are they saying? Without gold or silver backing, all paper currencies fail. Aren't they saying that now? Or all fiat currencies are worthless without gold and silver. Elijah Muhammad was saying that back then, right? This is the number one fault. And it is very clear that the loss of the power of the American dollar means the loss of the financial power of America. Stop right there. What does that have to do with that so-called slave? If she has no global currency, if she has no backing for the global currency, this means that her economic, her financial system becomes exposed. And then it implodes. Remember, the messenger says that the economic dynamite was laid to the base of this mountain called American economic dominance, and that it would be removed by the high explosives, talking about the people taking out their money and investing in America, the people calling America's debt, the people dropping these derivative bonds on it, the people getting gold and silver and backing their currency and backing and hedging against the fall of the dollar. The economic bombs are being set off against the dollar, which means they are laying low the financial system of America, which means they're breaking the financial power of America, meaning that she will not be able to fund her brutal police forces against you and I. She will not be able to continue to keep us subjected to her will because she would have no money to pay the people to do so. They'll be too involved with their own lives trying to feed their own families. These things must take place to free the slaves. You understand? Do you see the interconnection? Okay. So Muhammad says, this is the number one fall, and it is very clear that the loss of the power of the American dollar means the loss of the financial power of America. This is why she's fighting with China, Iran, Venezuela, Argentina, Russia, and all of these nations, because they are trying to make the escape from the dollar chains that America had saddled the entire world with. So Muhammad says, what will happen since there is no sound backing for her notes? We do not know. Then he says this. Remember what Mr. Holter says. He says, I believe this will end in hyperinflation. Muhammad says, what should we expect in the next 12 months under the fall of the power of America's dollar? Then he goes and says, this means that we have 100% inflation. Now, you got a taste of that in the 70s when everything shot up. When old Tricky Dix took the nation off, the world off the gold and silver standard. But that was only a taste of what was to come. Right? Muhammad says, this means that we have 100% inflation. That is hyperinflation. And if you don't believe, I know America has been masking it good, but if you don't believe, you go to the store, don't buy it, just look at the stuff. How the packaging shrinks, how even commercials try to get you to believe that less is more. You're paying more for less. Well, you get 20 or 15 of these little liquid pouches that you wash your clothes with. It is concentrated. It's better than a big jug of liquid detergent. Madness. And you go and spend $20, $30 believing this foolishness. That's because they have your mind. The white man is made to make falsehood appear right and right appear to be falsehood. He's desperate now, and he must try his best to mask things, how the jaws keep shrinking, and I don't drink sodas, but how you can go get a can of soda now. The can is slightly smaller. And then if you look up under the can, instead of the can being flat, now there's a curvature in it. That cuts down an ounce or two, and you don't even realize it. Isn't that something? So, they see that this is metastasizing, and they're doing all of the tricks that they have. And all of the tricks are coming up empty because people are starting to awaken to the years. But let's go, brothers and sisters. I want to go back to something about this Europe and America and all that debt, these debts. Now, they're telling you an open book, say, $2 trillion that cannot be paid back. Then they're telling you, we know that behind that, there are hundreds of billions off book, I mean, hundreds of trillions, excuse me, that are off book between the two nations' banks. I mean, the two areas' bank, America and Europe. Hundreds of trillions of euros, or hundreds of trillions of dollars. That, do you understand the magnitude of this? This means that no matter how much they collude, no matter how much they unite, they will not be able to settle the debt. This is one of the snares that caught them. This is why Allah allowed them to unhook themselves from the gold and silver standard. He had already let that be known that he was going to do that. See, with that standard, they couldn't print money in infinitum. So they had to detect themselves, unhook themselves from that, and they can live this prosperous life. And they can fund their military to the tune of trillions of dollars so that they can keep their hegemonic ways going and keep all black, brown, red, and yellow people suppressed and subjected to white Western culture. God had allowed them to do that. He fed them sweet wine, and now they are drunk, they are inebriated, and know not which way to turn. Because the debt has exploded to such a degree that even if they got together and multiplied themselves 100 times over, their GDP would not be enough to extract themselves from the coming debt bomb that will, as Mr. Gregory Mannarino say, be more deadlier than a physical thermonuclear exchange. They know this. But this is what you get from fornicating with the great whore. So Muhammad Golden says, in this time in which we are now living, there is no respect for dignity. The president leaving the country to travel afar, to meet with rulers of foreign countries to discuss the strange things that are happening and the strange things that will happen between the nations. The beautiful and rich country of America, to which many people of Europe and Asia migrated, seeking refuge in this country, as the prophecy is now coming into fulfillment. In that day and time, everyone will begin to go away from America instead of coming to America. As the revelation in the Bible teaches us of the prophecy that they will stand afar off and see the fire of her, talking about America, burning. And for fear of it, they will lift up their hands and their voices. They will lament for her. America's trade is cut off and all of her delicious and delicate things that she used to have in trade. It is all gone. In 1 hour, one day, it came to pass here in the Western Hemisphere. So we see this now underway. So we can calculate time. We understand that we're in this time. So we can make motion to prepare ourselves for what is to follow. Is that not right? How do you prepare yourself, your schedule? You prepare yourself by knowing the time. Is that not right? You say, well, I have time for this, this, and this, and I can do this on this day, at this time. This is the logical and rational way to prepare yourself for the unfolding and oncoming events of prophecy. They're down to zero. The empire nears its last breath, black men and black women. So, with all of this, we know that the desolations are to be poured. Let's go back to our Savior. Let's go to our Savior has arrived. And I'm going to get this in, and we're going to still try to play some clips. We got 22 minutes. And brothers and sisters, let me go to something. I think it's page 183 and 184. It is. 183 and 184. Go here real quick. I want you to pay close attention to this because I have to talk to so many different audiences, and I have to try to tie all of this in. And I'm not trying to ignore any of you. I'm trying to get this out to you in the best way possible. This is why you see me going to the definitions of meaning of these words here. This is why you see me go in multiple books and extract these things to show you. And I only want one sentence or two sentences of what I'm talking about, but to put it in the context, I'm going to read two paragraphs. And this is what I implore all of you to do. Instead of destroying the messenger's teaching and bringing them on your level, because sometimes what we'll do to justify our opinion and to justify our perception, we'll take a quote and we'll put it out there, and you don't understand when you're taking these quotes to justify your opinion, you're robbing them of the power that God had put in them. You're robbing them of them because you're bringing them down to your lowly desires and your lowly perception and not holding them up in higher standards of divine. So when you take a quote, you take that quote in the context of what it was talking about, okay? This is to ensure that there's no misunderstanding of meaning or shades of purposes, okay? So as we go, and our Savior has arrived, in the chapter called Days of the Son of Man, Confusion of Nations, on page 183 and 184, Messenger Muhammad writes, and this will tie into down to zero, the empire's near his last breath. The messenger writes, as to the days of the Son of Man, I would rather say they refer to years rather than days consisting of 24 hours. This is what I'm trying to convey to you. The Holy Quran also refers to it as the days of Allah. Okay? So when we're talking about the days of the Son of Man, we're talking about the days of Allah. He says, this means years. It's not just talking about days. Listen to what he says. This means years, as it takes years to remove a whole world and bring in a new one. So when Muhammad is speaking in the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s, up to today, you have to understand there's a gradual progression of what he's speaking about, because it takes years to get to the point of what he was speaking about. Not just in the day that he said it, but when he spoke it, he put it in motion, and the time brought it about through years, okay? But some of us, we get stuck in 50 and 60 and in 70, and we try to reconstitute 50, 60, and 70, and there will be no reconstitution of that because we're going into something better. You don't understand it. He says, this means years, as it takes years to remove a whole world and bring in a new one. So when Muhammad talked about in the 50s and in the early 60s about the years 1965 and 66 were proved to be fatal years in the fall of America, you had no idea that he was talking about those would be the years that America would rob her coins of their silver. You had no idea he was talking about that, did you? And then when he talked about in the 70s about the silver, he was talking about America removing the last bit of silver from the half dollars. Then you had no perception, you had no insight of when he was talking about the hyperinflation and how this would be in this day. You were thinking about back then, and that's why some of you lost focus. That's why some of you lost belief. That's why some of you were led to Wallace, because you didn't see what he was talking about. And you got weak-hearted and you got doubtful, and in your doubt you wavered. But some of you have come back, but you try to put everything on Wallace. but that's not how it is, but that's another subject. But let us go further. He says, there is so much that has to be done. Let's go back. We got to read this again, because when we're looking at the collapse of economic system, the monetary system, the financial order, when we're looking at the wars and the threat of more wars, when we're looking at the police brutality within our own borders, the deprivation of black people of their rights that God had given them, when we look at the movement on black people on the streets, the movement of them and putting them in concentration camps, when we're looking at the policies of America, we've got to understand this in the moment of time, okay? So he says, the Holy Quran also refers to it as the days of Allah. Listen closely to what I'm saying. Oftentimes when I'm reading something, I will read it over to you a few times so that you can understand the context of what it's saying to you, okay? Some people don't do that. And then we'll go back over it so that you can reacquaint yourself with it, and then you can digest what has been said to you. So he says, the Holy Quran also refers to it as the days of Allah. This means years. Why, Muhammad? As it takes years to remove a whole world and bring in a new one. There is so much that has to be done. Well, I thought God would just snap his finger much has to be done when you're getting ready to level a building. You have to go in and do a survey on the strongest and the weakest points of the building. Right? And then only after that do you do your research, and then you lay the dynamite where the building will fall in a controlled demolition. Right? It doesn't happen with the people move out the building and they just say, building fall? That doesn't work like that. So much work, so much preparation has to go into making the building fall. So Muhammad says, there is so much that has to be done. What has to be done, Muhammad? People have to be convinced that he is justified to remove the world of sin, for the world of sin has ruled the people for 6,000 years. Stop right there. What do you mean people have to be convinced? Some people still don't believe the white man is the devil. Some people still don't believe that this system is unjust. Some people don't believe that the political system must be removed. So you know what God does? He allows you to integrate yourself. If you want to go into it, go into it. You think that by going into the political system, you'll be respected and get power just like they do. But they are wise enough to keep you from the real power. Look at this. You got a black president, and even while he's been a black president, black people have been killed and shot down, and he has said nothing. Why? So many people have to be convinced that the entire system must be uprooted and removed. Not just part of it, not just having a person in the White House, not just having a black attorney general. The whole system must be uprooted. So many people have to be convinced. So many people have to be convinced that the system is unjust, that these people are brute beasts, and they will never give you justice. So many people have to be convinced. Is that not right? So he goes and says, there are so many people who are sold to the idea of wicked world rulers. Well, we can get along. Not all white people, man. Like you know. You crazy as hell and you trying to say somebody good. Isn't that something? So, Muhammad goes further. Now we get into where I really want to talk about. See, all that other stuff, that was just a preliminary. We get into what I'm talking about. So, in the midst of America falling down, in the midst of her world, the white world, going down to zero, in the midst of the empire on the gurney, taking its last breath and getting ready to get kicked in a hole, you must understand your position. You must understand prophecy. You must understand divine teaching in the proper perspective. So Muhammad says, the days of the Son of Man represent the days, and then in parentheticals he says years. So when we say the days of the Son of Man, we are talking about what? The years. Why? Because there's so much that has to be done, right? Right? And so many people have to be convinced, right? Because it takes years to remove a world, right? Okay. We got that understanding. So he says, the days of the Son of Man represent the days that will be, that he, not we, not they, not us, not them, that he, singular, will be judging the world and punishing the world for her evil. So now we're in this day, in these days, in meaning years, where God is judging the world, and he's punishing the world for the evil. Now he goes further and says this. The Son of Man is gathering, listen to this good, the Son of Man is gathering, teaching, and training his people right in the midst of this wicked world. Stop right there. But we got to separate. But the Son of Man is doing his job in the midst of all of this. He's going to do the separate. And we're going to prove that in just a minute. But listen, he says, his people have gotten experience of the wicked world, and he teaches them how now to avoid the wicked world and its teachings and yet live in the midst of it. Right? Did you see that part right there? So you're not going to get extracted out of here at this point. You got to go through the fire. You got to prove your worthiness. He says, his people have gotten experience of the wicked world, and he teaches them now how to avoid the wicked world and its teachings and yet live in the midst of it. They're living in the midst of it. Listen to this part right here, right? Because some of you don't understand this part here. They're living in the midst of the evil world and yet avoiding it proves their worthiness, since they have gotten experience living in the evil world, and now they turn to righteousness while they are still in the midst of the evil world. You heard that? Huh? I hope you did. And then he says, these people have an experience of both good and evil. Now listen to this part. Then, that means after, right? People have an experience, listen to this, then if these people are brought out of the evil world, these people are the people that he said he saved out of the fire. So, you got to go through the hell. You got to be purged of that Eurocentric dross that is in you. And so this is why all of these events are taking place. And there's going to be more desolations to be poured. And this is why Elijah Muhammad says, seek refuge in Allah in a time where he may be found. Let's go to message to the black man again, okay? I'm trying to get in all of these brothers and sisters. I might need a couple more minutes of your time, all right? Because I have to try to put this stuff as plain as possible. Let's see. How are you doing, brothers and sisters? I hope you're doing good. So in the midst of this, we're going to go to a clip real quick, and then we're going to come back here. I'm looking for my message to the black man, okay? I have so many books, I'm trying to look through it and find it. Listen, we're going to go to this clip because I do want to get this clip in. This is a one-minute clip, and it talks about the collapse of the system and how fast it will be. And so pay close attention to this. This is 1 minute, and then after that, we're going to try to get in another 1.5 or 2 minute clip, okay? I'm trying to get in as many clips as I can because I have more clips than that, but I do want to finish with this Bill Holter because I want you to see the situation that is facing their system, their world, and their race. And they are telling each other that this thing is crucial. They're telling each other that God is leveling the building, it's coming down, and they can do nothing about it. So I want you to pay close attention to this 1 minute clip, and then we're going to go into a 2 minute clip.
All right. Do you think that's what, if you take a look at 2017, you look down the field here, are you thinking that 2017, we got truth bombs, we have presiding over a bankruptcy, and maybe scarcity and inflation, is that what you're seeing in 2017, all unfolding in 2017? Talk about that.
Well, I would add one other thing, and it just goes hand in hand. I mean, if we're in the middle of a quote a bankruptcy and goods are becoming scarce, the financial system will come down very rapidly. Once it snaps, and I've said this before, is that once something somewhere truly snaps and control is lost, it'll probably only take 48 hours for everything to close. And under that scenario, I think there's a good chance you're going to see martial law.
People keep saying...
So, they're saying that when this thing starts, it's going to start moving at a rapid rate of decline, collapse, or fall. So what he's saying in essence is that they're looking at the fall of what? Not just the financial system, not just the fall of the world, but specifically, what are they looking at? The fall of America. Didn't Elijah Muhammad write a book called The Fall of America? And then in that book, didn't he explain exactly what these white people are talking about today? And if he did, and he did it long before they ever uttered a word, why won't you give that man a second look? Why won't you look deeper than the movie Malcolm X, which was full of lies and inconsistencies that you go about and think all day long that Malcolm was this and Malcolm wasn't nothing? It was Elijah Muhammad who breathed into him the inspiration of divine at one time. Malcolm ain't know nothing, but you worship the student because the white man directed you to. If Malcolm was a threat to this white man, why would the white man put him on his stamp? Huh? Why would the white man allow for colleges and universities to be named after him? If he thought that he was a threat in any manner, why would he do that? Huh? But he uses Malcolm to fool you because he know he has some willing and compliant fools to embrace anything that he says. But we go back to follow message to the black man. I'm trying to get a few things in. We went through Our Savior Azariah. We went through Fall of America. But we went through Our Savior Azariah when it talked about that you had to be in the midst of this. And you had to be purged of your dross. And only after these things will God take you out. And it will signify that you are worthy to be the stones of the New World, the headstones of the New World. Now, on page 190, I've read this before, but we're going to go into it again. This is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says here. I will not acknowledge the hypocrites' charges against me by going and contending with them before my enemies. I am not sent to accuse my people. I am sent to clear them of the charges of the accusers, the devils. Listen closely to this. This is the divine problem. What is the divine problem, black man and black woman? We have to be separated. And in the context of that, listen to what your leader, teacher, and guide from divine has to say. Not what you perceive him to be saying, but listen to the words that he had uttered and that he had written for you. This is the divine problem. God himself will liberate the Negro. Africa is trying to liberate herself from the same enemy. These prophecies concerning the resurrection and freedom of the so-called American Negro cannot be cast aside as false, especially today. For you can see the fulfillment. The so-called Negro must be delivered by God and God only. That's right there, page 190. Message to the black man. All right? Now, I want all you to put that in your pipe and smoke it. Because it's right there. I can go throughout these books and show you all of the references to these things. But this is one of the most important objects of here. I will read that again for those of you who may have missed it, who condensed Elijah Muhammad's teachings into little gotcha moments. We had to separate, and then you don't understand the meaning of what he was saying. You don't understand the weight of the words that he spoke. Or what was behind what he was saying. Because of your meager understanding and your narrow frame of view, you refuse to accept truth as it lays right before you. Listen what it says here. As it lies right before you, excuse me. And listen what it says. This is the divine problem. So now he tells us this is the divine problem. And I would exhort you all who are listening to us, especially in the days that America is collapsing, I want you to please study what the Muslims want and what the Muslims believe. Because those are the bylaws and that is the Constitution. And Muhammad gives it to you in what the Muslims want and what the Muslims believe. And we're going to reread this on one of the other shows and we're going to come out with some more of this stuff and we're going to go into the separation. I've done 3 or 4 shows on this, but people seem as though they cannot process this. They cannot, and it's as simple as can be. But listen to what he says. This is the divine problem. God himself. Well, we all gods. No, God himself. He is referring to someone other than you and I. God himself. Not gods ourselves or gods themselves, but God himself will liberate the Negro. Africa is trying to liberate herself from the same enemy. These prophecies, and listen close to what he says here. These prophecies concerning the resurrection and freedom of the so-called American Negro cannot be cast aside as false. This is what I keep telling you. The Bible and the Holy Quran gives you an understanding of what to expect concerning the liberation of the Negro, the so-called Negro. And they tell you what to look for and what is to take place. And you cast it aside because you have a narrow view. But Muhammad reiterates, these prophecies concerning the resurrection and freedom of the so-called American Negro cannot be cast aside as false, especially today. Why not today, Elijah Muhammad? For you can see the fulfillment, he says. The so-called Negro must be delivered by God and God only. Not this group over here, these brothers over here, these sisters over here, but by God and God alone. You either believe it or you don't believe it. You should believe it because Muhammad says, especially today, for you can see the fulfillment. We're pointing out the fulfillment. We're showing you, even the white man saying his world is limited. He's losing everything. As a matter of fact, I'm going to play this clip, this 1-minute and 54-second clip of Bill Holter when he says that this thing is going to take them back and they're going to look like caveman days when he talks about how God's going to ruin their world. Listen closely to this clip here.
There's no doubt about that.
So, in the end, what do you think? What is it? What is it going to look like in? We just